All right, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter Resurrection Day. Oh, he is risen indeed, which is, the whole thing of Christianity. You know, that's our main thing that we look to, that he's risen and resurrected, and we have that power. So we'll get into that later, but I'll start us off in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day. This beautiful sunny day that we can honor your resurrection, which we should do weekly and daily, but this is a special day that that Christians that don't normally come to church, sometimes they come to church and they come to find out about you, and hopefully they can come and know you and know the truth. And we want to come together and just learn these truths that we could take them with us home and show others and be grateful for what we have in you, because you died for our sins and we didn't deserve it, but still did it anyways. And we come together in honor and glory in you, Lord, and give you all the honor and glory and just be grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm usually in Colossians, but I'm going to do something different. So I'm just going to talk about Easter and the resurrection and get into that. So it could be done a little earlier, so just to let you guys know, but I'm going to do like a little two-fold thing. I'm going to kind of do a background on Easter. That'll be fast, kind of what it stems from and what we think about it, and then we're going to get to the guts, which is the resurrection, which we know it's not about eggs and bunnies and all that it's about Lord Jesus Christ. So, but I do want to start off in Luke 24. Let's get to Luke 24 real quick, just so we can open up on, the resurrection itself and kind of see what the Word says, God's Word says about it. Verse 1, Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, which is Sunday, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth. And they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. So that's a thing that on Sunday he rose, and they reminded that the Son of Man must be delivered into his hands. So he was talking about this. They kind of didn't understand, but then they remembered. And that's how we want to be. We want to remember what this is, and that's what we want to remember, the crucifixion, and remember what the Lord says. Keep that in our hearts and minds. So that's what we're opening up on, so we can remember that Christ is alive. He is not dead. So, all right, just to start off, I'm going to go into a tangent about Easter real quick. So as what we know about Easter, what it comes from, or what is it about. So, from the research I've done, Easter is an Anglo-Saxon word that it's sometimes associated with paganism and with the goddess Eostre or whatever. There's a few of them. And there are goddess queens of heaven in the Bible. There are about 30 plus deities mentioned in the Bible. So there's, gods, Baal, Molech, there's Diana, there's a bunch of which we know. And one source says that Constantine, in 312 AD converted from paganism to Roman Catholicism, and he kind of Christianized these pagan holidays. I mean, this is where I'm just going by the background of Easter, so whatever they be true or not. But another source says that the Church of Rome started Easter, compromised with paganism in 325 AD at the Council of Nicaea to make pagans comfortable to be Christian, and that it started in the 2nd century. Easter sometimes can be translated Passover. So, in Hebrew, it's Pascha or Pesach, and in Greek, it's Pascha. And they say it's the oldest Christian holiday. This is what I've come to look up. It may or not be true that the holiday is pagan. So, but what we do know that to be true is that all paganism stems from the Tower of Babel. So if you ever want to have a conversation about what's pagan and what's not, well, it all comes from the Tower of Babel. We all know this. So that's just one thing that we could get out of the way of Easter. Because I've heard a lot about Easter and if it's bad or whatever. And it's true that Satan is behind all the confusion of this world, and he tries to pervert the gospel and God's word. In my opinion, I believe it does have some, holidays that have pagan backgrounds. I believe there's something there, but it doesn't matter. We're here for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Romans 14, 5-6, it says, "Let every man be persuaded in his own mind." So, if someone wants to regard a day, let him regard a day. If he doesn't want to regard a day, then let him not regard a day, as long as he's doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's giving glory to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all in the glory of God." So we want to do all that we do in the glory of God. So whether we go show for Easter or not, you want to do it all in the glory of God. So God sees that. Verse 29 is, "Why is my liberty..." This is 1 Corinthians 10. "Why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience?" We're judging, our conscience is judging another man's liberty, saying, "Well, you're bad. You don't come to church on Easter, or you just come on Easter," or whatever. But we don't want to be part of that, And we've been in Colossians 2, and we know that, "Let no man judge you in meat or drinks, or in holy days, or in Sabbath days." And that's where we... So what I'm saying is Christians can celebrate Easter and his resurrection to the glory of God. In that sense, if Christians are convinced that Easter is a celebration of paganism, they could abstain from Easter if they want. That's what they want to do. But if traditions compromise biblical truths, then those traditions should be neglected. Amen. So if they're compromising what the Bible is saying is true, then they should be neglected, whatever tradition they may be. So, for Easter, and we shouldn't make these observances a law. So you have to come over here. You have to be here. If not, then you're a bad person. No, that's not true. If the Lord sees you, and if you do it all in the name of the Lord, and you're growing, then He sees what you're on. So, for Easter and Christmas, many people have a heightened sense of God, and a lot of people attend church that normally don't go. That's what we were getting at. So instead of nitpicking about these things, this would be a perfect opportunity for an unbeliever to be able to share the gospel and be saved. It's a perfect opportunity, whether it be in our church or in any church. That someone wants to come to church, hey, come on. Let's not degrade them and say, "Oh, all you want to do is come to church on Sunday, on Easter or Christmas." Like, hey, well, come on. Maybe this can be a step for you to start coming more often. These are just what, I'm seeing. All for the furtherance of the gospel. I like that statement. It's a good statement. We want it to be all for the furtherance of the gospel. In the end, none of this Easter stuff really matters. And it's only the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that matters. So just to get into one more little tangent. Also, we have Ash Wednesday and Lent. So we're kind of going to get into... See, we want to know what the world's doing, so when we know our truths, we're more solid. So we can see what the world thinks of Easter and of Lent, and then we get into our... It'll solidify our what we believe. So, have Ash Wednesday and Lent. And Ash Wednesday is 46 days before Easter Sunday. It is observed by many denominations. There are multiple denominations that observe this. There's many Christians that observe it, which I understand, you know, Palm Sunday. Into Easter Sunday is what is called Holy Week. And holy, they have each day is the building up until the Lord Jesus Christ died. Palm Sunday is Christ's entry into Jerusalem on a donkey. Good Friday is supposedly when Christ died. And then Easter Sunday is when Christ rose. All these are observed by mainstream Christianity to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did, to be in remembrance of that. And I understand that, you know. It's something to be remembered, definitely. Truth is, we don't know when he died, when he was born. So we put dates on things, so we don't really know, you know. The closest thing that I know is that reading that book from Bellinger, that was a good book, or from whatever, that the stars, because he probably might have been born on September. But other than that, you don't really know when he died, when he was born. So to even argue about those things can be, we don't need to be doing that. So, but grace believers know that we don't have to observe these because we are complete in Christ. Colossians 2:10, we are complete. We have all things complete. So we don't really have to observe these things. We know that we're in Christ. And all these observances, such as Lent, has man to be religious and fleshly, showing how good and religious they are. It's kind of a form of pride that, you know, when they do these things, they, you know, in Mexico, they hold the things and they kind of walk in chains. Their legs are chained up. And so they do this all over the world where they're remembering the Lord and they're kind of doing it in works or in faith-based works. And to me, or what I understand is that it's just saying, hey, look at me, look how good I'm doing for the Lord, look how holy I am for the Lord, and the Lord already did all that. We don't really need to do it. He already suffered. We don't have to reenact his sufferments, not in that, his sufferings in that, not in that way, because what does the Apostle Paul say? I die daily. You know, we want to be, every day we should be remembering these things, instead of just having that week and kind of, what does it say in, and, you know, Colossians, we kind of went over this, and it's a show of wisdom and will worship and humility, but it's to the satisfying of the flesh. It's not to, it's just saying, look how holy I am, and look at how, look at me, or look at what I'm doing, or, and, you know, there are people that are sincere, you know, that are doing it, but that's where we have Romans 14, and that's where if somebody wants to regard something, then let them, you know, as long as they're doing it for the Lord. But we know better that, you know, let no man judge, let no man rob us, let no man, you know, them three warnings in Colossians. So, you know, in doing them things doesn't avoid the indulgence of the flesh. The flesh is always going to want more, and that's why we want to put on the mind of Christ and the Holy Spirit, let him kind of appropriate in your life. Question, what does it mean to be a Christian? All right, so just a quick little answer is we are forgiven through his death and blood. You know, through his death and blood, so we're forgiven, right? But there's another fold on that. But also we are saved by his life, which is that resurrection life. So you're not really a believer unless you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. That's as simple as that. So if you don't believe in that, I mean, you can believe that your sins have been forgiven, but if you don't believe in that resurrection, that's part of the, you know, the gospel, which we're going to get into, and that's very important. That's the whole Christian scope, you know, that we are, you know, that we believe. If Christ didn't rise, we're still in our sins, you know. Well, we're going to get into that too. If the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not true, then our faith is a lie. Everything we're doing is just a lie. We're just wasting our life, you know. We know that's not true, but that's where that faith comes in, and we know that the scriptures are true. We know that each of these, each word and each page in this book is inspired by the Lord, and we can hold true to that. And you know that by studying. And I'm just going to kind of mention it now, but there's someone named Lee Strobel. You guys might know this. Rhonda knew who this was, but Lee Strobel is he was an investigative journalist for the Chicago Tribune. His wife became a Christian. He was an atheist, and he hated it. Oh, yes. Supposedly, he hated it. He didn't like it. He was good at his job, and he decided to disprove God, disprove the Bible, and to make it a lie. And so he can prove to everyone that it was bull. So he did his investigative journalism, which is good. That's what you're supposed to do as a journalist. And he went places, he studied, he followed all the leads. He ended up becoming a Christian. He ended up becoming saved. Because why? Because he found out if some things were so. And he wasn't even a believer at the time. So that story is a very big, inspiring story. And because he wasn't even saved. And he went to find out if some things are so. So if you want to find out if something is true, you got to go out and get it. You have to go out and find out. That's what this guy did. And it's just an inspiring thing because he himself is a Christian now. And he's saved. And he wrote a book called The Case for Christ. And he's got a movie too. So that's just one, you know, and he found out that all the evidence is there. So this guy, his job was to be an investigator. He went and he did it, and he found out. So I kind of wanted to mention that because that's an inspiring story for me, and it could be for everyone else. So this resurrection proves God, it proves that he is who he is, that God is who he is. He's God, he's man, and he's our Savior. You know, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and his victory over sin and death is the most important event of Christian faith. It's a very important event. It's the most important because that's where the Lord took back. And I think I was going to get into it in the future, but that's that preeminence. He's the firstborn. In Colossians 1:18, that's that preeminence. He was the firstborn of every creature to be raised. And now we're identified in that. So we needed that. If there was none of, we didn't have that resurrection, then what are we going to do? Where would he go? There would be nothing. There would be no truth. We would have no afterlife. There would be needed that because everyone from every dispensation needed the Lord Jesus Christ to die and be resurrected, and we can be identified in that. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. as we're growing, as we have our Christian walk, you know, our individual relationship with Christ, I kind of see myself being more you start understanding more and more. Like, I remember last year, I didn't understand what I understand now. Just by studying here and there throughout the week or whatever, but also just preparing this message. Like, I just, like, have understanding is much more deeper than last, because last year I did the Easter, I taught Easter, and it wasn't that good. So, you know, I could feel myself, you know, and thank God, you know, thank the Lord that I'm still here, and I want to still be here till it's my time to go. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. So that's what we want to be, walking in newness of life, that power of the resurrection. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead and is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. See, that's the Christian, that's our whole thing. We know that we die with him in identification, and now we live. Just by believing what he's done. He did all the work. We just got to believe it. And this is that's what we look up to as Christians, as followers of Christ. Is that this is what it is. So, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Powerful statement. Everything dies, doesn't it? And this dude, there's no dominion. Death has no dominion over the Lord anymore. For in that he died, he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. See, we're alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's all through the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank the Lord that we have this. I mean, it's unique. And many religions don't have this resurrection type relationship with their deity. You know, and this is a unique relationship that we have with our deity, the actual creator. There is no gods. There is no gods that are made. There's only one God. That's the God that we serve. There's none else. So anything you guys are looking for, you're looking for false tales, because there's nothing else. There's only the God of creation, the God of the Bible. So let's go to Philippians chapter 3. And what I usually like to say is, you know, these passages, this is all proof and evidence. There's men that put in the work to translate these things, to kind of give, you know, commentaries, and it's just this endless of the truths that it's just endless. I mean, Boyd was just telling me that a guy did a commentary, 400 pages on between so many verses, it's just endless. See, God, just as we know, as God's word is endless and timeless and immortal, and you know, this book is definitely God's word. Philippians chapter 3, right? And verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. See that we live our lives, we want to gain earthly things. That's a loss for Christ. Okay, so whatever you're listening to, whatever you're, you know, you're wasting your time on these worldly things, that's a loss for Christ. Because we're identifying the Lord. We saw that in Romans 6. And we know that we're fellow heirs with him, and we have a heavenly position in it with him. These all tie together. It's just a beautiful knit tying of everything. Verse 8, yea, doubtless that I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as dung, as poop, that I may win Christ. Everything is but to the wayside, but that I may win Christ. That's where our mindset should be. We want to win Christ. We're all not perfect. We fall, but we want to get back up. And be found in him. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. See, there goes some language there that our own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The power of the resurrection. There's a lot of power in that. So, power of his resurrection. The Holy Spirit makes real our experience by appropriating it by faith. So, we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. We follow what God wants to do. That's to study to show yourself approved unto God. He wants us to be in this book as much as we can. As much as we can. Know the truths that we have that we're identified in his death, burial, and resurrection. That's the whole thing of this Easter. This Easter thing has nothing to do with bunnies and eggs and pagan, and none of it has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, and what he wants us to do is to not be ignorant. He wants us to know what we believe. He doesn't want us just to listen to some preacher and just, yeah, that sounds good. It sounded, it gave me energy. But it's not even about that. It's about you finding out for yourself. It's not the preacher giving you energy because he sounded good when he said it. Because what sounded good may not be true. Or he's just being vague, or it's not deep things. You know, or he's just... So, whatever, it comes down to you and the Lord, and he wants you to get into it. There's more than one or two or three books. There's 66 books. He would like you to get into as many books as you can, so you are not just stuck in one spot, so you know the whole scope of what the Bible is teaching you, instead of just listening to what somebody's telling you. You know what? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I know a lot of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. These are verses that probably so many churches are going to go through. But these are important verses, you know. And that's good, because that's what they're there for. So we can go through them. And kind of this little side note, I don't know if I mentioned it, but meeting on Sunday, as we do, you know, we know that the Apostle Paul met on Sunday. He met Acts 20, chapter verse 7. And that it's kind of like an indirect celebration of the resurrection of Christ, who arose on the first day of the week. So the Lord Jesus Christ rose on the first day of the week. We kind of celebrate this, but I didn't get into it too much, but I kind of seen what I think Pastor Kurt kind of mentioned, that we come on the first day because it's kind of a type of what we're under. We're under grace, right? We know by the revelation of the mystery, the dispensation of grace. So when you come to church on Sunday, it's the first day of the week. So that's what happens when you get saved. You get saved first, and then you do your works, you know, unto the Lord. Like, you know, it's not works to get saved. You get saved first, and then you do what's right for the Lord. Back then, they had the work, then they had the Sabbath, and that was their rest day. So it was kind of, they had the work, and then in the end, they'll get their prize. So it's kind of that flip-flop thing. I kind of like that. I'm not sure how good that is, but I'm pretty sure that's it's a nice typification, because that's the Lord always is always organized, always got his thumb on things. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. And we know these verses, but here's the gospel that saves. We know this. You know, this is if you are just learning about God and you want a verse that you want to remember, this is one. If you don't know any verses in the Bible, you just know this one. And this is all you need to have a conversation, spark a conversation with somebody. So, moreover, brethren, chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. See, everything is according to the Scriptures. God puts His Word above His name. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's it. Believe that, you have eternal life. You don't believe that, you'll have eternal damnation. And there are two resurrections that... these aren't the resurrections that... these are just two. The resurrection of the damned, I think, and then of the righteous. Well, we're going to get into this in John. That there's two types. That you're the unsaved and then the saved. And we want to be part of the saved. we don't want to be on the side of, you know, hell and eternal torment. Because those are real things, and people want to kind of sneak around those words and sneak around those truths because they're scared of it. But no, the Lord made us as men to be bold and to say these things straightforward. You're either going to go to hell or to heaven. And this resurrection day is not about bunnies and eggs again. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. This resurrection power that we have. So... thank the Lord that we have that again. And the Philippians 1:21 says that we to live is for Christ, to die is the gain. That's the answer to life. One of my favorite things in Pastor Kirk that I got from Pastor Kirk, the answer to life. To live is for Christ, to die is the gain. We live for Christ and we gain what we gain so much. Moving forward, verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me, which is the Apostle Paul, also as of one born out of due time. And that's a statement in its own. But Pastor Paul Belbach likes to use this one because he talks about the evidence. When you're in a court case, when you have 500 plus witnesses, you're never losing that case. So this is just evidence that he has witnesses after witness after witness that seen him with his holes in his hand. And that, you know, when he died, before he died, and who knows if he looked like this before, but he was marred beyond recognition, as Isaiah says. Beyond what any man looked like. They beat him to where they couldn't even recognize this guy. You know, and they beat him. You think you got a beating? No. This guy got a beating, and then they put him on a cross so everyone to mock him and put him as a show. You know, the creator of the universe. But this was all part of his plan. He knew what he was doing. So yeah, that's that. Where we, where that's that evidence, you know, you're winning that case. But moving forward in verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Now, that's a reference to Apostle Paul, that he was the least of the apostles. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. See, even him, who persecuted the church, this stuff's not in vain. What he's got going on, he knows that the Lord's got him, and he's our pattern for today. A guy who went to prison, a guy who was persecuting and jailing Christians, a guy who was above, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. This guy changed, and the Lord saw it fit to save him and make all of us be patternized after what he's doing. That should make you say something, that no one's better than another. Just because someone's in prison, don't mean nothing. People are getting saved in prison left and right. You know? So just because they're in prison don't mean you're a convict, you're evil. Well, the Lord chose the biggest convict, the biggest evil person for us to follow. That's a pattern, because He knew that we're in that with the heathen, the Gentiles, us, we have a lot of bad people within our mix. And now you could say, well, I went to prison, but how can you know that I went? Oh, well, Apostle Paul went to prison. He can identify with you on that. Or if he killed people, he can identify for the murderers. You know, but the Lord saw fit to change him. So just a little tidbit on that. Verse 11, therefore, whether if it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye also believed. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? ? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is your preaching vain, and your faith is also vain? Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are in your sins. And we know that to not be true. See, he's just talking like, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are not in your sins. He's kind of, I don't know what the word is, but he's asking a question, you know, like a rhetorical question. Is that what it is? Where he's trying to make them think, you know. Then also they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. So all our loved ones that died, you know, your father and everyone that we loved, that died, that lived faithful, you know, to the Lord, they're perished. You're never going to see them again. We don't have that faith. We know that my Uncle Peter is in heaven, and he's fellow heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're going to be there with him. Amen. We're going to see him again. So we don't have these fables and tales that a lot of people try to mock us on. You know, oh, you're fairy tales and, you know, Dungeons and Dragons and all this. But it's like, no, we're going to see that man again. We're going to see our family again. And we're going to be there. Like, I just read on the paper that Les Feldick died. Yeah. Yeah, I hope I didn't spoil the announcement. But Les Feldick died, and he was a heavy hitter in the ministry. And we're going to see him. Amen. You know? And it's like we usually say, what's 80 to 100 years to eternity? So we're going to be seeing them very often. And all this is not for in vain. For since to verse 21, verse 19, if this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. See, that the Lord Jesus Christ also had to be a man. So we could say he never went through what we went through. No, he went through exactly what we go through and more. So he had all the temptations that we had. He had all the things that we had. And he died for it, because it was part of his plan to save humanity. And all he asks is for us to believe and live a good life for him. In his name. I mean, I don't see how hard that is, honestly. I lived a life that was contrary to that. And to me, it was hard. You know, it was contrary to what God is saying. I lived that life as a fool. And now I'm trying to do it right. And it ain't that hard. You know? It really ain't. He tells you to be sober. He tells you to be, you know, to love your neighbor. So if you do all those things, he tells you to take care of your body. If you do all those things, then you're going to feel good about it, you know. He tells you to love everyone around you, to study his word. You study, you know, we know just by not even about God, that if you read a book, it helps you think. It helps you, you know, so if you read this, it's going to help you think, help you be smarter, help you be wiser. It's the wisest, smartest, most important book in the world. And we want to get into that. So I'm just going to kind of, I'm not going to get into this because this is a bit much, but, like too much, but, so I was just, Lord Jesus Christ, he died and he rose on Sunday morning. So I believe, and you can go back and look this up or study it, that he died not on Friday, that he died on Wednesday morning. So, if you see what he says in Matthew 12, it's 3 days and three nights. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So shall the Son of Man be in the heart of earth. He died the sixth hour and the ninth day. So that's 3 p.m. in our. So we know that he died on 3 p.m. There was darkness on earth. The Lord himself says that there's 12 hours to a day. So Israel, they used to 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. was their day. You know, so there was 12 hours. So it didn't start like how we did, 12 in the morning. It started at 6 a.m. So that's where I get that. So if you count that, Wednesday morning, Thursday, you know, if you go through that, then it ends up being that it's the 3 days and the three nights. So that's my take on that. Some people think Thursday. People think Friday. So it's not a crazy issue. Maybe it'll get you thinking. Well, maybe this guy's crazy. He's wrong. Maybe it'll get you to just study or something, you know? I don't know. I just wanted to mention that because in John chapter 2 it says in 3 days. Mark chapter 8 says after 3 days. Luke 24, the third day. So that's 72 hours. And, you know, we know that 12 days for a day, 12 hours for a day, 12 hours for a night. So the only thing that made sense for me, I kind of looked it up and seen, and, you know, it was during the Passover, and there was two Sabbaths. There's the Sabbath of the high day, and there's the Sabbath of Saturday. So there's two Sabbaths while the Lord was crucified. But, just go to John chapter 5. And I think this will be our last verse. Dang, I made it all the way. I didn't think I would. John chapter 5, verse 28. And this is that the two different type of resurrections. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which, this is the Lord Jesus Christ talking, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So, we want to be part of that resurrection of life, instead of that resurrection of damnation. We don't want to be part of the unsaved, that wide path. There's a narrow path, and the Lord can open your eyes, and you can live for him today. You can live for him today. You can now. Hopefully, you get a stronger understanding of what Easter and resurrection and all them things are. What the world is doing with Lent and all that. I mean, but we will see the Lord Jesus Christ again one day. We will see our past loved ones again one day. In Christ. We have a home. It's in heaven. It's not here on earth. So anybody listening, you know, this is... Christians are imperfect. You know, we want to reach toward the mark of perfection, but Christians are imperfect. We all sin, and we want to put this word above anything. We want to get into this word because that's how you know God. That's how you know what He's saying. It's not really by, when you want to talk to God, you pray to Him. When you want God to talk to you, you want to see what He said in His Word. There's a reason why He had 40 plus authors, why He, so many people died for this Bible. So many people are even today have to sneak this Bible around just to talk and to serve Him. This Bible's been through the trenches and it's still here for us. How do we know? When you read it and compare it with itself, and you compare it how the world is, it's an unfathomable amount of truths. It just keeps on, this is true. Oh, this is what happened. Oh, you found this in this part of the earth that the Bible said it was there. And then it's just as constant. So there's no excuse. We know that this Bible is true, and that today it's not about Easter, it's about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are saved through His death, burial, and resurrection. The resurrection is real, and that's a very important thing that we have. So, if anybody want to add anything, you know, go ahead.
Just for clarification, we understand what you're saying. John chapter 5, the resurrection talked about there is the prophetic resurrection of the Old Testament saints, not the body of Christ. Even though we do have a resurrection of life, that's just not reference for it.
Okay.
We do want to be part of the rapture, our resurrection.
Yeah.
All those that believe that truth, that Christ did die, but buried and rose again from the dead. And we don't want to be the part of the resurrection of damnation.
Yeah.
Clarification.
Okay, that was a good clarification. Thank you. what was I going to say? Another thing. So, my uncle, Peter, he used to say that Christ dying on the cross for our sins is the greatest love story of all time.
Amen.
So I wanted to say that because it really is. Creator God came down, died, suffered, saving us, all for His glory. Yeah, I'll take that. So, yeah, and thank you for being here, and hopefully we got a stronger understanding of the resurrection, and I'll close us off in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for that we can come today, and let it all be in your glory. Let everything said today, hopefully it resonates in the minds of someone listening over the videos, or someone here, and they could share it with a friend. And we're grateful that we have our families, we have our friends, we have our health, we have our jobs, we have this church, and we have this beautiful day that we can enjoy and remember what you've done for us, because we're established in the heavenlies, and we want to always keep that in mind, whether it be Easter or whether it be every day of the week, every day of the year. In Jesus' name, amen.